Gospel by Matthew, please. In chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24 again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And God, no doubt, will bless to us his precious word. Now, I don't know if your experience is anything like mine was as a young Christian. I was saved in a radar compound on the island of Cyprus in September 1958. I had been going along to meetings in a canteen held by a mission called the MMG, the Mission to Mediterranean Garrisons. Come Christmas, just 3 months later, I was invited to go down to their Christmas convention, as they called it. Conference, rose by any other name, will smell sweet. Doesn't matter whether you call it a convention or a conference, it's the same thing. But it was 2 or 3 days away from the camp, away from the billets, away from the uncouth language of the other soldiers. And it was like an oasis in the desert. But you know, as the conference was coming to a close, I had the realization that next morning I was going back to the camp, back to the billet, and back to the same uncouth language. And it was a tremendous letdown for me. Now, I don't believe that any conference was ever designed for that. I believe that conferences are designed for us to learn and benefit from the ministry given. And that the ministry given, as I believe has been the case here, should have an effect for good upon our walk from day to day. Now, I want to speak about something that very directly relates to tomorrow morning. And to every tomorrow morning. Most of you, at least, are not going back to an army camp. But you're going back to the humdrum of life, back to earning a living, back to the anxieties of whether you can provide enough to meet the family need and all the anxieties of life. So I want to give ministry that directly relates to that. Now, we've already looked at this passage yesterday. We saw that the Sermon on the Mount has to do with the principles that regulate the lives of the subjects of the kingdom. And we saw yesterday that you and I, who are Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus, are not only in the church, which is his body, we're in the kingdom. Christ is not only the head of the body, he's the king of the kingdom. We saw that the stress in relation to the body is our union with him. But the stress in relation to the kingdom is our subjection to him. In Matthew chapter 4, we discover that the Lord Jesus has the moral right to speak. So when you come into chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us the laws by which the lives of all the subjects of his kingdom will be lived. Now, we're not going to cover all that ground. We don't have the time. I just want you to notice again, please, in chapter 6, we have the practices of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus speaks to us about almsgiving. He speaks to us again about praying. He speaks to us about fasting. It's the practices of the kingdom. Now in this last section, we saw from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, he speaks concerning material possessions. And we saw that in this section, we have two unhealthy attitudes towards material possessions. I suggested verses 19 to 24 are a word to the rich. And verses 25 to the end are a word to the poor. You'll see in a minute that actually verse 24 relates to both parts. Remember I said that riches are relative? I'm going to give you an illustration that was given to me yesterday. And I'm going to mention the name, because if you think that the facts are not facts, well, you can blame him, not me. John Fairfield gave me this one. Now, you listen to this very carefully. If you were a young person in Kamloops, that's how he put it, and you had a paper route, you would be amongst the top 10% of wage earners in the world. Did you get that? If you just had a paper round in Kamloops, you'd be amongst the top 10% of wage earners in the world. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Hands up all those that are poor. By that perspective. Now, while I have said that verses 19 to 24 relate to the rich and verses 25 to the end relate to the poor, there is a very real sense in which the last section actually relates to the same people in the first section. I tell you in what sense. In the first part, remember I stressed that the emphasis is on lay not up and lay up. Lay not up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Now the question arises, well, if I'm not going to lay up treasures on earth, if I'm not going to accumulate things to myself, what am I going to do in the everyday things of life? How are my needs going to be met? That's the problem, you see. And that's why we tend to lay up things on earth, because we're worried about tomorrow. And so often we do not believe that God is enough for our tomorrows. And so we feel we have to lay up. Now in the last section, I pointed out that the stress is on the words, take no thought. 3 times over we read that expression. And then once in verse 28 we read, and why take ye thought? I suggested yesterday, it's not a matter of not making preparations. That's not the idea. Literally, the expression reads, don't be anxious. Don't worry. What you say to me? If I'm not laying up treasures on earth, if I'm not getting a healthy bank balance, if I'm not preparing for my old age, how can I avoid worrying about tomorrow? Have you ever heard of God? Do you think that God is dead? God is alive and well. And He's not only the God of yesterday, He's the God of today, and He's the God of tomorrow. Okay, let's look at the section then, please. Look at verse 24 again. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon for riches. I want you to notice, please, that serving God on the one hand and serving riches on the other hand are two mutually exclusive things. You can't do both. You can't serve God and serve riches at one and the same time. It's one or the other. Now, we related those words yesterday to the rich. Now I want us to see how they relate to the poor. Notice verse 25. What's the first word? Therefore. Whenever you come across the word therefore, you ask yourself the question, what is it therefore? It's a word of argument. In other words, what he's about to say from verse 25 onward is based on what he had to say at least in the previous verse, and certainly I believe in the verses preceding that too. For this reason, he says, don't be anxious for your life. Don't worry about the future, he says. Okay, now let's look then at the verses. Verse 25, we have the precept. That is, don't be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than raiment? Is that all that life is about? Is getting clothes on our back, and food in our mouths? Is that all that matters? If you remember, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the Christian, there is much, much more to life than just getting the things that we need or even the things that we want. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than meat. There's the precept. Now verses 26 to 29, we have the examples. I want you to notice, please, in verse 26, he speaks of the fowls. in relation to food. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now notice what he says. Are ye not much better than they? They don't sow in the ground. They don't reap a harvest. They don't go out to work 40 hours a week or whatever it is. They don't draw in a paycheck every 2 weeks. They don't put into the bank and accumulate. The fowls of the air never have some nest egg that they can draw on. But he says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you much better than they? That is, to God? Do you think for 1 minute that the God that provides for the fowls of the air who cannot provide for themselves will not provide for you? And cannot provide for you? Now he's not saying don't bother to go out and earn a living. You understand that, don't you? But what he is saying is this. When you find yourself in tight streets, and you haven't got all those RSPs in the bank to draw on, don't worry about it. Just trust the God that loves you to supply your need. Look at the next verse, please. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I wish I knew that when I was a youngster. I remember when I was about 16 years of age, I saw in a magazine a height increasing course. And I sent off for this height increasing course. I always wanted to be 6'3", not 3'6". And so I got this course, and at least for a couple of weeks, religiously, I got up early in the morning and did this course, and 2 weeks nothing happened, so I gave up on it. Well, maybe I should have persisted, but now, knowing this scripture, I'm glad I never bothered. But because by being anxious about it, I can't do anything about it. Mind you, if you taller fellows find out when you get to heaven that the ideal height is 5'5½", don't be surprised, will you? But the whole point is, here's an impossibility, right? Here's a situation we can't do anything about. And at some time in your life, dear child of God, you're going to find that God is going to put you into a corner. And you can't do anything about that situation. God says, don't worry about it. Let me worry about it. By the way, God never worries. Do you know that in heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, we're presented with a throne. And one sat on the throne. And before that throne, there's a sea of glass, like unto crystal. Perfect tranquility. God is never taken by surprise. God never wrings his hands in anxiety. God is never faced with an impossible situation. As young people, we used to sing, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but faith. God cannot fail. So when it comes to the matter of your food, he says, don't worry about it. Leave it with God. So you don't need to lay up in the barns. You can trust God to supply your need. But what about clothes? Look at verses 28 to 30. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So when it comes to clothing, he speaks now of flora. I don't mean a person, but plants. And he picks a plant from God's garden, in effect. And he shows us the beauty of that plant. And he said, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Underline in your mind those words, much more. You see, God wants to prove himself to you and me. He wants us, as it were, to step out on a life of implicit trust. I'm not talking now to preachers. I would suggest that maybe not all preachers are living on the principle of faith. But every Christian should be living on the principle of faith. Absolute confidence in God. Now he says, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God wants us to trust him to meet our every need. If God provides for the transient, the flour that today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now time is just about gone. Verse 31 is a repetition of the precept of verse 25. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now I want you to see in verse 32 two reasons for not being anxious for these things. Number one, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That is, the unconverted are the ones that need to worry about these things. They don't have God in their lives. They're without hope and without God in the world. But you and I who are Christians, we're not without God in the world. And God wants you and I to prove him in our everyday experience. I could tell you a lot of experiences. And I'm not thinking now of since we have been full time in the work of God. Even before that, when God proved himself. But time won't allow. God wants to prove himself in your life. He wants you to take up the challenge of living a life where you have to depend on God to meet your need. Second condition, verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We shouldn't be anxious about food and raiment, number one, because that's characteristic of the unconverted Gentiles. We shouldn't be anxious about the supply of our every deep need, number two, because your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Listen, God knew the need before it arose. You and I didn't know the need before it arose. But God did. and we can afford to trust God to meet the need. Verse 33. A conditional promise. A conditional promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you wonder why you haven't discovered God in your life as a Christian? Do you wonder why it is that you have found yourself from time to time in impossible situations and it seems that God hasn't met the need? The simple answer is you haven't trusted God to meet the need. You haven't sought first the kingdom of God. You see, to seek the kingdom of God is to neglect your everyday need and to depend upon God to supply it. He says, you seek first the kingdom of God. If necessary, to the neglect of your advancement in this world, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, the conclusion. Take therefore no thought. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean? Well, it simply means this. You've got enough to worry yourself with today's problems without worrying about tomorrow's. Let God look after tomorrow and you just seek to please God today. May God bless His word to each one.